Alright, so I know what I'm gonna say. Okay. I'll start.
Okay, at least I have personality. Okay, good. Very good. All right, so welcome to Club Hour, and it's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be here. You're in Koch Auditorium. It's amazing. And this afternoon, we're going to talk about Kabbalah Shabbos. So here we go. Okay. So all of the different... By the way, my name is Yaakov Glasser. Okay. Now maybe I tell you my name. Now we can talk a little bit. My name is Yaakov Glasser. I grew up in Los Angeles and now live in New Jersey because sometimes Hashem does bad things to good people. But and especially now with this weather, which is just amazing. That's okay. I have a palm tree in my house, which I water and take care of, and then dies pretty much over the course of the winter. As do the dreams of good weather. But anyway, it is wonderful to meet you. I work at YU. I oversee YU's community department called the CJF. And I also am the rabbi of a shul in Passaic, New Jersey. If anybody here has heard of Passaic, New Jersey, it's a beautiful, amazing, wonderful community in New Jersey. It's a little bit to the right of God, but it's an amazing, amazing place, a beautiful shul, passionate, an amazing kehila, and it's great to be here to learn Torah together with you. So let's begin. So today's topic is actually about, it's about Kabbalah Shabbos in terms of the tefillos, but it's really about what the tefillos of Kabbalah Shabbos teach us about the entire nature of our Shabbos experience, and by extension, how we relate to spirituality in general. We all know Hayom Yom Rishon LeShabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni LeShabbos. We all know that Shabbos, as a spiritual entity, echoes into the week in terms of its anticipatory holiness. We're counting down to Shabbos, and we all know that when Shabbos ends, even though it ebbs away, nevertheless, we make Havdalah. Havdalah can even extend to Tuesday. There's an echo of Shabbos that takes us into the week. So we know, so we're going to talk a little bit about the experience of Kabbalah Shabbos and what it's all about and how that relates to our own connection to Shabbos itself. So let's begin with understanding the whole concept of Kedushas Hayom. We know that there are days in the Jewish calendar that are endowed with an inherent sense of sanctity. In fact, the entire Jewish calendar is saturated with particular days whose sanctity is associated with certain thematic ideals that we are mandated to connect to throughout the year. So we're going to celebrate Purim soon. Purim relates to Hashkachas Hashem, God's role in the unfolding of mundane events, even though you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name overtly in the Megillah. He's behind the scenes orchestrating the entire unfolding drama of the story of Purim. That concept, that idea that you sowed, stands true the entire year. That's always true. It's true in the summer, it's true in September, it's true on Yom Kippur. But the way the Jewish calendar has been organized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that there are particular days that are predisposed, that are endowed with certain thematic sanctities that allow us to connect to those ideals in a more substantial way, right? A lot of people, for example, there's something called Mother's Day, right? You've heard of Mother's Day. There's Mother's Day, and then Lahavdil, there's Father's Day, right? Mother's Day is breakfast in bed, and is, the day off, and is cards and gifts and flowers and washing dishes and all sorts of appreciation for mothers. And Father's Day is like, you know, it's sort of like the backup. Thank you. Oh, wow, amazing. With ice, right? Father's Day is kind of like, since we have a Mother's Day and we're an equal opportunity, we have to shtickle, I have a Father's Day. But believe me, I've never woken up to breakfast in bed, right? On Father's Day, right? So some people say, what are you doing celebrating these days? It's a secular Hallmark created day, right? In Judaism, what's the word? Every day is Mother's Day. Every day is Mother's Day. Every day is Father's Day. What do you mean you have one day that you're celebrating that Karas HaTov to your parents? But the truth is that that's not actually accurate. That in Judaism, we recognize that even values that are ubiquitous in terms of their relevancy and resonance to our lives, Nevertheless, there are particular moments where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to reveal and unpack the Kedusha and the influence and the impact of those ideals on our lives at those particular moments. And that is the nature of the Kedusha Sayom of Yom Tov. In order for the Kedusha Sayom of Yom Tov to occur, what is required? What's required is the investment of a human being. Right? How do we decide when Yom Tov is? So today we decide when Yom Tov is through looking at a calendar. Right? The calendar is going to come. It's going to be Pesach. Right? I don't know where you're going to all be for Pesach. I grew up in one of those Pesach hotel company experiences. My parents own one of those. So I grew up in those programs where, like, you know, you eat the petting zoo on the buffet. Like, mamish all the different animals, and then you play duck, duck, goose with live thing. You know, like the entertainers and the wealthy people and all the different... So it's going to be Pesach. How does it become Pesach? So today we look at the calendar. We say it's going to be Pesach. We make Pesach. But in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in the times of the Torah, how did it become Pesach? It became Pesach because two people, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, went out. They saw the new moon. They came to Beis. Then they said, today's going to be Rosh Chodesh. And based on that, we established Pesach. And in fact, the Medrash tells us that, let's say we're talking about Yom Kippur. If for some reason we were wrong, then even though from an astronomical perspective, Yom Kippur was supposed to be, let's say, on a Tuesday, and even though the actual, accurate, authentic Yom Kippur should be celebrated on a Tuesday, nevertheless, if the Jewish people determined and endowed Rosh Chodesh a day later, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually spends that Tuesday watching us all eat our head off. And the next day, which is the day of Yom Kippur, that's the day that Yom Kippur is actually observed and the day that Yom Kippur is actually celebrated. The Kedusha of Shabbos could not be more different. The Kedusha of Shabbos comes automatically. There is no necessity for a Jew to see anything in order for it to be Shabbos. At 4:52, that's it. It's Shabbos, right? I remember when in my first year of being the rabbi of a shul, a congregant called me up. They told me that it was going to be Shabbos in about 20 minutes, and they told me they were stuck in the Lincoln Tunnel, and they could not make their way through the Lincoln Tunnel in time for Shabbos. They can't get home in time for Shabbos. What do they do? What do they do? You get out of your car in the middle of the Lincoln Tunnel. You then stop the traffic even more. There's nowhere for anything to go. There's no shoulder. You can't pull over on the Lincoln Tunnel. What do you do? So, like any good rabbi, I said to them, hold on, I have to check. And I called up Rabbi Willie. And I said to Rabbi Willie, what do I do? They're stuck in the Lincoln Tunnel. What do I tell them? What's the psak? What's the halacha? What's the din? What do you say? I can't tell them to be Mechal Shabbos, but I can blame it on Rabbi Willie. Right? That's okay. So I said to him, you're the Gadol, tell me what to do. You're my Rebbe, tell me what to do. So he says to me, I'll tell you exactly what to do. He says, tell them to leave earlier. I said, what do you mean tell them to leave earlier? They're in the tunnel, they're there. He said to me, tell them to leave earlier. I said, they're already driving. He said, tell them to leave earlier and everyone should have a good Shabbos. And he hung up the phone on me, right? Why? What's the answer? The answer is, there is no answer. It's going to be Shabbos. There's nothing we can tell you. We can't tell you it's okay to be Mechal Shabbos. It's going to be Shabbos. 6 days we work, on the seventh day is Shabbos. The Kedusha of Shabbos comes on its own. The Kedusha of Shabbos comes no matter what. No matter what you're doing, no matter what's happening, the Kedusha of Shabbos arises. And the reason for that is because the whole purpose of Shabbos is to connect us not to the historical experiences of the Jewish people. The purpose of Shabbos is to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the creator of the world. Not just as the creator of the world, but as the orchestrator of the divine providence that leads our lives, that affects our lives every day. And so therefore, nature is cyclical. Nature, there are laws of nature. There are laws of physics. Nature has patterns. Nature is predictable. It's measurable. It's observable. It's empirical. And so therefore, it's automatic, it's happening, whether you like it or not. You throw something at someone, that's it, right? You can't claim that you're not responsible. If you exerted force and its trajectory is pointed in the way of somebody else, that's it, it's over. It's going to hit them, it's going to hurt them. You're responsible for that. The laws of nature. Shabbos, which connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the ultimate creator of nature, itself embedded within the nature of its Kedusha, is also cyclical. It comes no matter what. Every 7 days, it's Shabbos, no matter what. I remember when I was once in high school. So when I was in high school, I used to be very involved in an organization called NCSY. You've heard of NCSY? So I was, oh God, you really don't talk, right? Okay, no one's heard of NCSY.
Maybe he has. Right? So what happens? So I told you, I grew up in Los Angeles, and there was a Shabbaton, there was a Yarche Kala in a place called Big Bear. Big Bear is east of L.A. It's up the mountains, and in Big Bear, there's snow, you know, in the winter. It's cold, right? We used to go to Moshe Chorev there and all these different things, Running Springs, Big Bear. So what happens? So my advisor, you know, the advisor, right, the college people in charge, right, comes to pick me up in my high school at EULA, and we drive in this LeBaron convertible up to Big Bear. I was also the band, so we had all my music equipment in the back. And we're driving, and we hit like a total standstill on the 5. Total standstill in traffic. Not going anywhere. And this was, you know, before you couldn't text anyone or WhatsApp anyone or call anyone, whatever. You're just stuck in this thing, and there's nothing you could do. There's no one you could call. There's no one. You're just stuck in this thing. And we're trying to figure out how makeable we could be and what time we ultimately get there. And there's Rabbeinu Tam, and there's what we think Rabbeinu Tam said, and there's what Rabbeinu Tam's kids probably said. And then there's the 18 minutes on Rabbeinu Tam, and there's the 18, on the 18, on the 18, on the 18, on the Rabbeinu Tam. And finally, we have no choice. We get out, we pull the car to the side of the road, we stick the key into the tailpipe because it can't carry, leave everything in the car, and begin to walk to the Shabbaton. We're walking. We walked, I was 15 years old. We walked for 10 miles in the dark on mountain roads in the snow in Big Bear, California. We finally found the Shabbaton. We get to the Shabbaton and we have a beautiful Shabbos and everything's amazing. And then I come home and my parents are livid at this advisor. They think that he's out of his mind. Why didn't you keep driving? It was dangerous. It was scary. You could hurt our kid. You could have hurt our son. This is when parents, you know, didn't want their kids to get hurt. So he's like, what do you mean? I can't believe you did this. I can't believe they were so upset at you. But there's nothing to do. The story was over. Fast forward 15 years. 15 years later, my family moved to New York, and my father became the national director of NCSY. And this advisor became the head of summer programs for NCSY. He's not the head of summer programs now. Different head of summer programs, many years ago. You don't know who he is. And he was running a trip called Jolt, which was in Europe. He gets to the border of some godforsaken country. He's got 20 kids from probably, you know, all over New York and all over America. And the guy at the border says, give us a bribe or we won't let you over the border and we won't give you back your bags. This Ukrainian guy is standing there and he's demanding a bribe. So this guy calls my father up because he's in charge of the whole organization. He says, what do I do? Can I give them a bribe? Can I give them what they want? What do I do? Father says to him, I've been waiting 15 years to do this. You almost killed my kid. Good luck. Hangs up the phone. That was it. So they got stuck in a Ukrainian prison. But eventually they got out. Anyway, so Shabbos comes. There's nothing you can do. You're driving in a car. You're driving up a mountain. You're going to be walking. There's nothing you can do. Shabbos comes on its own. So that leads us to the following question. What does it mean that we have a tefillah called Kabbalah Shabbos? What are you accepting? What are you receiving? What are you embracing in the world of Kabbalah Shabbos? There's nothing to accept. Shabbos is coming. If you don't go to Kabbalah Shabbos, it's going to be Shabbos. And if you violate Shabbos, you will transgress one of the fundamental mitzvahs of the Torah. What do you mean, Kabbalah Shabbos? You think that if you don't dance and sing Mizmor LeDavid, anything different happens here? This is not a mechanism, you know, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, part of the avod of Rosh Hashanah, so Yimam Lech Hashem. Shofros to blow the shofar embedded within the tefillos within the Shemana Esrei. Zichronos to affirm HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in being the master rememberer of our lives. Shabbos has nothing to do with this tefillah. What do you mean you're being Kabbalah Shabbos? What do you mean Kabbalah Shabbos? You're accepting Shabbos. Shabbos comes whether you like it or not. So what is this all about? So join me for a little journey to understand where Kabbalah Shabbos came from. The story begins, of all places, in Maseches Baba Kama. What happens in Maseches Baba Kama? The Mishnah says the following, source number one. Shnayim shayu mahalchim b'rishus harabim. There are two people that are walking in a rishus harabim, in a main street. Echad rats, one is running, the echad mahalik, and one is walking. O shahayu shnayim ratsim, or they're both running. V'hiziku se'ese, right? And that's what happens. What street are we? We're 34th Street. So somebody's running up 34th Street, somebody's running down 34th Street, and bam, they collide into each other. What's the din? Shenehem Peturin. They are both exempt. They both cannot hold the other one accountable for the damage that they inflicted as a result of this altercation. Says the Gemara, Masnisan Dilo Keisi Ben Yehuda. This opinion of the Mishnah, that if one person's walking and one person's running and they collide, that no one's responsible, that position does not follow the theory of Rabbi Isi Ben Yehuda. Why? Titania, because we learned in the Braisa, Isi Ben Yehuda Omer, Rots Chayiv, Mitnei Shehu Mishuna. That the person who's running should be Chayiv, right? That's why our parents tell us growing up, don't run in the house, don't run in the house. It's not going to end well. And of course, what do? We run in the house. And what happens? Bam! You collide into somebody, and now somebody gets hurt. So the person who's running, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. When you walk in the street, you're supposed to be mindful of people in the street. So the person who's walking, that person is potter. The person who's running, that person is chayiv, because they should have been more careful. That's the opinion of Isi Ben Yehuda. That opinion is not reflected in our Mishnah. That's the Gemara's comment. But in the context of discussing this, the Gemara says the following about Isi Ben Yehuda. Even though in a scenario where one person's running and one person's walking, he holds the runner accountable for not being careful, there's an exception to that situation. That is, Umode Isi Be'erev Shabbos Feina Shma Shos, that Isi admits, he agrees, that if this is happening on Erev Shabbos Feina Shma Shos, on Erev Shabbos between Shkia and Tzeis, meaning the very, very end of Erev Shabbos, or the proverbial 18 minutes, right? 18 minutes, got within 18 minutes and the 18 minutes, if that's when this is happening, so then he's exempt. Who shehu potter? Why? Mipnei shehu rots birshus. Because the runner is supposed to be running. In other words, the only time the runner is accountable is if he's running down 34th Street. Who gave you permission to run down 34th Street, oblivious to the danger that you place all of the pedestrians in that you may knock over? But if it's Erev Shabbos, and Shabbos is coming, and we're so happy, right? And it's going to be Shabbos any minute, and you're running and running and running because you're preparing for Shabbos, then you're not doing something that's oblivious to those around you. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, and so therefore, you're potter. It's a din in Nezikin, says the Gemara. Now look at the next section, at the end of source one, the last line of the wide lines, the Amar Rabbi Chanina. What does this mean, that you had permission to run? This is the source for Kabbalah Shabbos. Ready? Bo v'neitze likras kala malkasot. We have a concept that one should go out to greet the kala, to greet the Kabbalah Shabbos. Bein HaShmashos is already after the 18 minutes, right? Candle lighting time is 18 minutes before Shkia. 18 minutes later is Shkia. After Shkia, it's Shabbos. You can't do anything after Shkia, after sunset. So, after sunset, what are we supposed to do? That's the time where we go out. Doesn't say anything about a tefillah. We go out and we greet the Shabbos queen. Likras Shabbos Kala Malkasa. To greet the Shabbos queen. Rabbi Yanai Nisatev used to adorn himself in certain robes and clothing. Bikari Ba'omer, and you'll recognize this phrase, Boi Kala, Boi Kala. I want you to come, Kala, bride of the Jewish people. I want you to come, bride of the Jewish people. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos says. In source number two, Rabbi Chanina Me'atev Bikari Apanya Demali Shabto. He would stand at sunset and turn towards the arrival of Shabbos. Amru bo v'neitze likras Shabbos Malka. Let's go greet the Shabbos Malka. Rav Yanai Lovish Mahan used to wear beautiful robes, Ma'ali Shabsa for Shabbos. Amru bo'i kala, bo'i kala. So the question is, so even though we don't have a source in the Gemara says nothing about the liturgy of Kabbalah Shabbos, as we're going to see. That's actually very recent in Jewish history. It's from the 15th century, 16th century. So it was made in Tzfat. Anybody ever been to Tzfat? Right? Tzfat's the very Labadik, you know what I'm talking about, right? With the big, okay. Right? So, you know, you go to Tzfat, everybody's singing and dancing, you hire the tour guide, he comes out, he's in robes, he got long payas, and got things on his head, and things on his jacket, and Tzfat is a Labadik place, right? So Tzfat is where Kabbalah Shabbos actually started from a liturgical standpoint, but the antecedent to that liturgy we find already back in the Gemara, not as a tefillah, but as a concept, right? We don't believe in just innovating rituals that have no anchor in traditional Judaism, right? We don't just wake up one day and say, wouldn't it be great to have a ritual that celebrated finishing finals as a mitzvah, right? And so now we're going to concretize that and obligate anybody in it, and we're going to tell everybody what to do. We don't invent rituals. Rituals have to have some source in our tradition. So the source of Kabbalah Shabbos is this Gemara in Baba Kama, the concept of Bo'i Kala, Bo'i Kala. So the question is, what are you saying? What are you greeting? What is this imagery? This imagery, if anything, makes more sense for Yontif. Yontif, you were a part of bringing Yontif in. It was our testimony in the new moon that resulted in Yontif coming at this particular time. What do you mean, Bo'i Kala, Bo'i Kala? What are you greeting? What are you bringing in? What does this have to do with the Kabbalah Shabbos? What are you greeting Shabbos? Shabbos happens no matter what. And the Shulchan Aruch writes as well that there are halachas that apply to Erev Shabbos. There are halachas that apply to Erev Shabbos. Yilbash begadav hanoyim, a person wears beautiful clothing. The yismach, and this is very important, right? This is something we should all keep in mind when we, Amir Hashem, set up our own homes and think about what's the tone of Erev Shabbos, what's the atmosphere of Erev Shabbos, what's the experience of Erev Shabbos, the yismach. It should be an experience of screaming and yelling. No, it should be an experience of happiness and joy and elation and excitement and connectedness. Bevias Shabbos kayotze likras hamelech. It's like you would go out to greet the king. And that's what the Rambam talks about, the mitzvah of kavod Shabbos. They're taking a shower for Shabbos and putting on fresh clothing for Shabbos. All of this is about the kavod for Shabbos. And the question is, again, fundamentally, what are we doing all of this for when at the end of the day, Shabbos comes no matter what? What is the embrace that we're pulling in? What is the greeting? What is this metaphor? What does it mean? We're greeting the Shabbos. We're bringing the Shabbos. We're accepting the Shabbos. Shabbos comes. The Kedushas Hayom comes no matter what. What is this really about? So I'm going to share with you an insight now that I believe will change your approach to Kabbalah Shabbos forever and draw your attention to a dimension of Shabbos that is actually incredibly important. That sometimes we become so focused on the minutiae and the halachas and what's borer and what's bishul and what's klisheni and what's all the different malachas that sometimes we miss this dimension of Shabbos, which is so critical and so fundamental and so important to our Shabbos experience. So what we're going to suggest this afternoon is that the transition that's occurring, that Kabbalah Shabbos is engaging, the transition that's happening, that Kabbalah Shabbos is embracing, has nothing to do with the Kedushas Hayom. The sanctity of the day, that comes on its own. There is another transformation that occurs on Erev Shabbos that has nothing to do with the day itself. And that transformation doesn't happen in the atmosphere of the day. It happens within the actual individual themselves. Says the Gemara in Beitza, the Omer Rabbi Shimon, see it's source number 5, the Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Neshama Yesera, no saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'adam Erev Shabbos. God instills within every individual a neshama yesera, an accentuated, elevated, expansive soul within a person on Erev Shabbos, ulemosei Shabbos, and on Saturday night, notlin osamimenu. He takes it away from him. Shenemar shavas vayinofash. Shabbos refers to ceasing melacha, relating to the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, but there's another dimension of what goes on Shabbos. It has nothing to do with the day. It has nothing to do with Borer. It has to do with Vayinofash, what happens to your soul. And the Rashi tells us, what is a Neshama Yesera? We talk about Neshama Yesera. What's Neshama Yesera, says Rashi? Rochev Lev Liminucha Vilesimcha. A expansion of the heart, of the emotions, of your sensitivity, that allows you a sense of menucha, a sense of serenity, a sense of settledness, vilesimcha, which gives rise to joy. A person feels a sense of simcha. One of the foundations of feeling a sense of simcha is just listening to a shiur by Rabbi Blass about simcha. He made this point to talk about harvachas aleiv. Let's listen to it on Y.U. Torah. That simcha, where do you get simcha? Simcha comes from a certain expansiveness of the heart, a certain settled feeling that things are right, that things are good. The neshama yaseira. Liyos pasuach lirvach, and then it could be opened, the yochal, the yishteh, and you could eat and you could drink. So the other transition that's occurring on Shabbos is the neshama yaseira. So what we're going to suggest this afternoon is that Kabbalah Shabbos is not about accepting the environment of Shabbos. It's not about accepting Shabbos out here. Kabbalah Shabbos is about accepting Shabbos in here, in you. It's about recognizing that when you encounter an extra dimension of spirituality, that has to be embraced with intentionality and with purpose. That if you allow Shabbos to just happen to you, or one of the words, terms I hate the most, you're Shabbos observant. You're observing Shabbos. You're watching, you're careful, you don't do this, you don't do that. You can miss one of the most fundamental elements of Shabbos, which is the spiritual infusion that takes place within yourself. Kabbalah Shabbos is about recognizing that that's happening, embracing it, affirming it, making it real. And you don't have to do that. You can go through a Shabbos and technically have a neshama yisera, but not experience it at all. See, if you go through a Shabbos and you don't violate any of the malachos, then you've kept Shabbos. You've been a shomer Shabbos. You've been shavas. But have you been vayinofash? Have you experienced the soulful, internal, inner sense of transformation that could occur within a person when you really connect to what it means to have an extra dimension of spirituality in your life? Kabbalah Shabbos is about accepting that. So look at what Avraham Tzvi Shor in the Taras Chaim writes in Source 6. Kivon de Shabbos ve'olam haba zel umazehim. Since Shabbos and the world to come have a relationship with each other, Nira Kizehu sowed Neshama Yaseira to Shabbos. That's the source of that Neshama Yaseira on Shabbos. Shebechol Erev Shabbos, that every Erev Shabbos, Bishas Kiddush Hayom, when the Kiddush Hayom occurs, Mekabeles, what are we being Mekabel? HaNeshama Yisron Me'or HaElyon. This extra dimension of soul, of spirituality that comes from the great light, who sowed Olam Haba from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Ayidei HaShefa, through the influence and the impact, HaYoreid Me'olam HaElyon LeTachton B'Shas Kiddush Hayom. That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is not just bottom up. It's not just raising what's mundane up, sanctifying the mundane. Shabbos is also top down. Shabbos is also, there is, if you can, strip away the distractions. If you can strip away all of the different stresses and anxieties and things that are going on in one's life, if you can, beginning with the Isser Malacha, not be involved with driving and electricity and cooking and working and all the things that create the different demands on our life, if you can strip all of that away, and then if you can calm all of the noise that surrounds our life, and you could create that space, that spiritual space, then you can experience a sense of spiritual elevation on Shabbos that is unparalleled in the rest of the week. That is what the Taras Chaim is saying. And that is what we are saying is the purpose of Kabbalah Shabbos. You sit down, and we don't have enough time to go through them today, but you look at these Mizmori Tehillim, which, by the way, almost none of them mention Shabbos. Even Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos doesn't mention Shabbos after that first line. They are all about appreciating God's world. You ever ask yourself, why are you talking about nature in the middle of... So the Pashup Shad is because Shabbos is about recognizing that God created all of this. So we connect to the grandeur of the world, but maybe it's something else. Maybe it's because what these Mizmorim are trying to do is they're trying to clear the air. They're trying to tell us, look around, be alive. Look at the world. Look at what's happening. Look at the legacy of the Jewish people. Look at where we've been. Look at where we've come from. The first one is amazing. Arboim shana akud bedor, b'amaram toei levavhem. You know, people love to sing that. The Karbach, you know, Kabbalah Shabbos. Arboim shana akud bedor. You know, that's a terrible, not terrible sentence. It's all about how horrible the Jewish people are. Am toei levavhem. That means the Jewish people were mistaken, were misled in their hearts. V'hem, and everybody gets excited. Layandu d'rachai, didn't know anything about how to follow my ways. Asher nishpati b'yapi, that I swore in my anger. Im yivun el menuchasi, that I'll never bring them to their place of rest. Right? Sounds inspiring, right? You put a Karbach song behind anything, it could sound inspiring. We could do a Leviathan, it would sound exciting, right? And if Eitan Katz gets involved, then we're off and running, right? What's going on? The Kabbalah Shabbos is all about the journey of Jewish history, the journey of the Jewish people, nature. You look around and you strip away the things that relate to just you personally, and you realize you're part of something bigger. And with like doing that, you begin to embrace this world of this Neshama Yaseva. And that's why every single day, like the truth is, if you look at source number 7, he makes a beautiful point. There's a point in Shabbos where we daven for this. Look at source number 7, the second line. The Lachay, Ish Hashivos Gedola. There's tremendous importance. His boning likrasa to contemplate and to connect to, calling it out, greeting it. Kichol Shenismach Yoser likrasa Nobinishma Usov and Itzapula. Kach Yitifol Vitika Deish. And the more that we connect to it and relate to it and have simcha with it, the more it will transform us, the more it will sanctify us. The chol tefilos haShabbos, one of the things we ask for, v'hamchilenu Hashem Elokeinu Shabbos Kodshecha, that God should give us our nachla, our portion in Shabbos. L'chol era Shabbos ha-kiyabda. What do you mean? Shabbos is happening no matter what. Why do you have to ask God to give you this nachla? The impact of the spiritual experience is correlated with our tefillos, with our prayers, with our openness to be able to receive it. We are constantly searching for spirituality, right? It's a big buzzword. This needs to be more spiritual, that needs to be more spiritual, you know, work needs to be more spiritual, stir needs to be more spiritual, our lives need to be more spiritual. We're always searching for spirituality, ke'ilu, as if there's some sort of reservoir of ruchnius out there, that if you were only able to reach it and drink from its nectar, then you would be elevated in an experience of spirituality. Well, that may work in spot. But that doesn't work in the rest of the world. That's not how spirituality works. Spirituality is found in here, in the authenticity of who you are, in the soul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in you. The search for inspiration and spirituality is the search for experiences that allow you to rediscover what's already there, what's inside you. If it is a search for some sort of external substance of spirits that you're trying to put in you, you will be on a search for a very unhealthy type of spiritual growth. That's not real spiritual growth. Real spiritual growth is recognizing that it's within all of us. Elokai neshama shenasatabi tohorihi. God gave me a soul. He gave me a ruach. He gave me an animated spirit that is a reflection of his presence. And what is difficult sometimes is to reach it, is to feel it, is to experience it, is to allow it to shape our life experience, because there are so many things in our world of physicality, in our limited world of the constraints of the temporal world that we live in, that so many of those things make it so difficult to reach and experience and nurture that inner spirit that's within ourselves. What does Shabbos do for us? Shabbos is such a unique opportunity. Shabbos is the opportunity to move aside all of the physical distractions. That's what the Kedushas Hayom does. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us such a gift. He gives us an opportunity to animate the soul that's within us. So we are more predisposed to feeling and to experiencing spirituality on Shabbos than we are the rest of the week. But it's always there. And that's why we say, the Ramban says, as we count each day towards Shabbos, Hayom Yom Rishon LeShabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni LeShabbos, right, the top of every ksuba for all of Jewish history, B'Sheni B'Shabbos, right? Every day we connect to Shabbos. Why do we connect every day to Shabbos? Because ultimately we carry this with us all the time. It's just that on Shabbos we have an opportunity to animate it, to excite it, for it to become real. We strip away. You can't do that every day of your life. You can't have Shabbos every day of your life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in a world and he said, Sheishes Yomim Tavo. You know that pasuk is before the chait of Adam HaRishon and Chava, right? The punishment is that it's hard. The punishment is not that we have to work. Those who think the punishment is that Adam, right? That's what they say. Chava was punished with the pain of childbirth. Adam was punished that now he has to go to work for a living. Kilu, that if Adam wouldn't have done this wrong, then we would have, I don't know, we would have just sat in cabanas and just been fed grapes by, I don't know what the vision is of what the world would have been. That's not what it is. Sheishes Yomim Tavo, the concept of that we have to work, the concept that we have to work in our life, it just would have been a different type of work. It would have been a work of nobility and a work of enjoyment and a work of satisfaction. There are a lot of aspects, there are a lot of things to talk about, what exactly was the punishment of Adam. But the week is meant not to experience it on the same level, in the same way. We're put into this world to impact the world, to affect the world, to elevate the world. But every day that we're doing that, you know, Rishon LeShabbos, we have to remember who we really are, what's really inside us. And when that Shabbos comes, we have the opportunity to animate that Neshama Yisera. I want to share with you a quote from Rav Soloveitchik's Al HaTshuva. Look at source number 12. Rav Soloveitchik in his Al HaTshuva, right? These are the lectures he used to give in Lamport Auditorium before Yom Ne'orayim. They went for many, many hours. So he was talking a little bit about his experience of coming to America. And the Rav says the following, look at this. Even in those neighborhoods made up predominantly of religious Jews, one can no longer talk of the sanctity of Shabbos. True, there are Jews in America who observe Shabbat. But it is not for Shabbat that my heart aches. It is for the forgotten Erev Shabbat. There are Shabbat observing Jews in America, but there are no Erev Shabbos Jews who go out to greet Shabbos with beating hearts and with pulsating souls. Which means there are no Jews in America that they don't feel it, they don't embrace. Yeah, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They've gotten much better at they're observing and making tea with clean achadasar. They're making the essence. They're with the borer, miyad, biyad, like mamish, at the table, cutting up people's vegetables on their plates. They care all the chumras, they're being careful Shabbos. But there's no Erev Shabbos. What's the Erev Shabbos, right? Those of us who've had the privilege to be in Eretz Yisrael for a Shabbos know the whole country is alive, getting ready for Shabbos. There's an excitement, there's an enthusiasm. In America, it's a race to see how late you could stay at work before you have to leave in order to get ready for Shabbos so that you could do it as fast as you can. It's a whole country built around the culture of embracing Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos Jew. What's the Erev Shabbos Jew? The Jew who's not just concerned with the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, but he's also fixated on the Neshama Yisera, on the spirituality and the experience of Shabbos. And then he goes on to talk about, tells a story. Not far from where our family lived, there was a Magister Shtiebel where I would occasionally go for Shabbos Shuddis. The Hasidim would be singing, and he talks about different songs they would sing on Shabbos. And it occurred to me that they weren't singing because they wanted to sing. They were singing because they did not want to allow Shabbos to leave, right? This is the source for Ebbing at Shabbos Shuddis on NCSY regional conventions, right? It's Beferish Yerot Soloveitchik. I remember an encounter in this shtiebel as a small child. One of the men who had been singing most enthusiastically, wearing a kapoton consisting of more holes than materials, approached me and asked if I recognized him. I told him that I did not, and he introduced himself as Yankel the Porter. Now, during the week, I knew Yankel the Porter was someone who was very ordinary, wearing shabby clothes, walking around with a rope. I could not imagine that this individual of such regal bearing could be the same person. Yet on Shabbos, he wore a kapata and a strangle. And this is because his soul was not Yankel the porter, but Yankel the prince. Well, after nightfall, I naively asked him, when do we daven Maariv? And he replied, do you miss weekdays that much that you cannot wait to daven Maariv? Right? The notion is, the concept is, that on Shabbos, we have this extra dimension of spirituality. And the purpose of the tefillos of Kabbalah Shabbos is to embrace it with intentionality. Because when it comes to spiritual pursuits, it's not enough to just do things. There has to be a sense of intention. There has to be a passion. There has to be a connectedness. There has to be a motivation. It has to be something that we are actively pursuing. Right? Many people say, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing to be from, but I just don't feel it. I just don't feel a connection. I just don't feel it. It doesn't work that way. That connection does not come simply by doing everything we're supposed to be doing. Doing everything we're supposed to be doing is part of what makes us Ovdei Hashem. That's part of the expectations of the experience of Na'aseh V'Nishma. But to create that sense of connectedness, to create that sense of being in touch with the godliness that exists within us and exists within the world around us, that takes tremendous effort and focus and time. And it's not something that you automatically accomplish at 19 and 20 and 21 years old. It takes a lifetime. And there are changes. And your life evolves. And Shabbos is experienced in different ways at different points in your life. But part of what we're trying to access is not just the observance of Shabbos, but the experience of the Kedusha of the soul itself. And everyone has, as the Gemara Brachos tells us, Kashem She'en Partzuseyem Shavos, Kach Ein Nishmaseyem Shavos. Just like we all have a different face, we all have a different soul. Everybody's soul is unique. So everybody's neshama yisera is unique. And the way in which everyone experiences Shabbos is unique. And I'll close with an insight from Rabbi Willig's introduction to his Sefer on Shabbos. He talks about a zemer that maybe some of you sing in your homes. It says, Ish al machanehu, the ish al diglo. Right? Each person, it's Kol Mekadeh Shvi. I don't know if you sing that zemer. It's a little bit long, right? Kol Mekadeh Shvi. I sang it off this year, right? So the right? Kol Mekadeh Shvi. So it says, Isha Machaneu, the Isha of the globe. Each person according to their flag, each person according to their camp. What do flags and camps have to do with Shabbos? So it says, if you look at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, already based on the parashios we're reading right now, right? What happens? We all camp around the Mishkan. The Mishkan's in the middle, but each Shevet camps around the Mishkan from their own direction, from their own perspective. It says with Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Sefer Emes LeYaakov, the purpose of this was to accentuate the fact that each one of the Shvatim were individuals. They served the Kadosh Baruch Hu differently, based on their own proclivities, their own individuality, who they were. And so therefore, each one around a common center, but each one their own path to the center. So says Rabbi Willig, the same is true about Shabbos. No two people's Shabbos are exactly the same. Different people experience Shabbos differently. Different people experience Shabbos. Different people find different things meaningful on Shabbos. For some people, shul is meaningful on Shabbos. For some people, the meals are meaningful on Shabbos. For some people, it's the zmiros. For some people, it's the learning and the Torah learning. For some people, it's just being with friends. There are different ways to access the Kedusha of Shabbos. But what we always have to remember is that in those very first moments, as Shabbos is coming, to just close our eyes, whether we're in shul or we're at home, wherever we are, just close our eyes and just allow ourselves to be overwhelmed and infused with a sense of connectedness, to just quiet down the world around us and to hear our authentic self, to hear our unique, individual, real, true self. That's what Shabbos is. It's a reflection of the authenticity of who you are. And even though we don't all act the rest of the week with the same spiritual fervor that maybe we act on Shabbos, that's okay. It's not inconsistent and hypocritical. It's part of the journey of life, that we have these anchors of spiritual experience so that it keeps us where we really are. And we work the rest of the week as best we can to rediscover and to reveal that spiritual reality within ourselves. Here at Soul, they will all be able to experience everything Shabbos has to offer us, especially at this time in your life. You have a lot of stress, you have a lot of anxiety, you have a lot of things going on, tests and homework and social things going on, events and programs. There's so much happening here. take your Shabbos and just give yourself the space to feel connected to who you are and to feel connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Have a wonderful week.